That's what we'll be talking about this morning. In chapter 1 and verse number 9, it says this: "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Verse number 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." So we'll take those verses. It still talks about the trying of your faith. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for those who are here. I pray these things would be a help and a blessing to them. Father, I pray that you'd help me and bring to my mind the thoughts and illustrations that would be helpful, and bless your people today. May they be helped and blessed and edified. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. So in James last week, we talked about where James said in verse number 2, he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Whenever things come upon you, temptations, trials, tests, and tribulations, and all these things, and I know these come upon you folks, as all of us do. It says when you fall into divers temptations, you're going along in your life and something happens in your life. You weren't looking for it. It just happened. It's a trial maybe that God puts in your way to try your faith. And if we go through it, then God will help us, you see, will help us. I don't know about you, but many times I didn't like the trials. I didn't like the test. I didn't like the tribulation. And so I quit, you see. So just to be real honest with you, that's what I've done. That's what I did. I quit a lot of things. So I made up my mind several years ago, I'm not quitting anything else. I'm not quitting anything else. When I was in the Army, I couldn't quit because I'd be AWOL if I did, so I didn't quit there, see. But other than that, I've quit a lot of different things. You ever quit anything? You ever quit anything because it got hard, or, you know, you saw an easy way out, or grass looked greener somewhere else, and so you went somewhere else, you did something else. Well, I've done those kinds of things, you see. So as you get older, the Bible says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. You try to learn how to have patience. You try to learn how to have endurance. You try to learn how to stick things out. You'd be better off, and your family, people around you will be better off. I probably hurt a lot of people because I didn't stick with it, see, in certain areas. And I don't know about you, but I've done that, you see. And I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have done it. See, I'll have to, the Bible says we have to give an account. I will have to give an account. My family, all these kinds of things that I've done in the past, I shouldn't have done. Or I didn't go through the trial. I could have made it because God would have given me away. But I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't mature enough. And I failed. I failed the Lord. I failed other people around me. So the Bible says he gives us an almost impossible task in James chapter 1 and verse number 2. He says, "Brethren, when you fall into divers temptations, count it all joy." Count it all joy. That's still a hard thing. That's a hard thing to do. But see, that's what we talked about last week. Now, folks, there are two kinds of temptations in the Bible. First off, there is the trying of your faith that worketh patience. See, that's from God. There's a trying of your faith that works patience. Then there's the temptation to do evil. You need to get that. There's the temptation to do evil, and there's a trying of your faith. See, the trying of your faith brings endurance and it brings patience. But temptation to do evil, if we follow that path, then it ends in death if it's followed. You find that in verse number 15. Look in verse 15. "Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." See? You see those two kinds of temptation there, those two kinds? There's a temptation or there's a trial of your faith, and it brings forth something good. And then there's a temptation to do evil, to sin, and it brings forth death. That's the ultimate end of it, see. All right? So the trying of your faith, that comes from God, but the temptation to do evil comes from the devil. The devil in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 5 is called the tempter. He can tempt you. See, the Bible says, look in verse number 14, it says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil can entice people. He can entice you. See, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll say it again. But he knows what your weaknesses are. And he entices you to do evil. But he cannot make you do evil. But he can entice you to do evil. You see, the devil's been around a long time. He's been around a long time, and he's been working with, not with them, but against them for the last 6,000 years. Ever since Adam and Eve were made in the garden, the devil has been working there, see. He's been working against people. So he's called the tempter, and he entices people. The Bible says about Satan in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says this. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, you see. So the devil is subtle. That is, he's crafty. That is, he is, should I use the word tricky or something like that that we'll understand? See, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he came to Eve, and he tempted her, see. He is the tempter. He puts things in front of us, and he knows what our weaknesses are. He entices people. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 3, one of the great chapters of the Bible about Eve and then Adam later, that they fell for the temptation that the devil put in front of her, because Eve looked, and you know, the devil came and told Eve, said, you know, that God's just trying to keep something from you. Why, he's trying to keep you from having a good time. He's trying, you know, he doesn't want you to know good and evil. And God wanted them only to know good. But the Bible says she did. She fell for the temptation and she sinned. And that brought evil and sin and death into this world. And all the calamities that you know about. Everything that all the evil and stuff that happens to people, they want to know why did God let this happen to people? God didn't bring it into the world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 is the answer for all the problems and sin in the world. It says, wherefore as by one man, that's Adam, one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There was no death. There were no death. There weren't any weeds in the world until Adam and Eve sinned, and that brought it all into the world, you see. I mean, it's a flood of evil came in through what Adam and Eve did, see. And so that's what happened. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 13, and God came to Eve and said, what hast thou done? What have you done? What have you done? She said, the serpent beguiled me. The serpent beguiled me in IDD. He didn't take her by the arm. He didn't twist her arm and get her down on the ground and twist her arm and say, you take that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I'll break your arm off. He didn't do that. All he did was deceive her. He tempted her. He enticed her. And she took it, see. She took it. And she didn't even have a sinful nature at the time. See, we're one step off of that. We do have a sinful nature. We have this stuff in us called lust. It's inside of us, you see. Look in verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We have that stuff in us, you see. So that's what the devil is, the tempter. He's subtle. James says that in the trying of your faith that we are to ask wisdom. We talked about that last week. Verse number 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, and it's in the context of all this trying of your faith. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. See, So when we're having trouble, but most of us, I'm just thinking about myself. I'm thinking about something else. I'm not thinking about asking God for wisdom. How can I do this? So he says about that we're to ask for wisdom, but he says also about the temptation to sin. He says in verse number 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. So in verses number 9 through verse number 9 through 17, I want to give you three things. Number one, verse number 9 to 12 is the trying of your faith. It continues on there, and I'm not exactly sure I can tell you exactly what that means, everything that means in those verses there. But the trying of your faith is worked out here in verse number 9 to 12, and I'll go over it real quickly. He says in verse number 9, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. So if you're a brother of low degree or no degree, you know, some of y'all might have one degree, or your brother, you know what he means here, brother of low degree. I mean, I always think of myself a lot of times, I'm on the bottom of the totem pole, you know. I might have one degree, but I don't know that it means anything. Not talking about that kind of degree. I'm just joking with you folks. Y'all awake out there? And so, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. In other words, if you're a brother of low degree, you know, maybe we're on the bottom of the financial ladder or something like that. If God decides to exalt you, then rejoice about that. But he goes on to say, he contrasts it in verse number 10 about the rich. Do we have any rich folks in here? Verse number says, but the rich in that he is made low. In other words, in trials and tribulation, if God decides to take some things away from you, if God decides to take money away from you, see. He said, but the rich in that he's made low. He might make the rich man low, see. It might take some things away from you. And we're still in the context here, it seems to me like, back over in verse number 2, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know, if you lose $5,000, can you count it all joy? Or if you lose $10,000, see, there's a job. There's something for you to work on. Maybe that won't happen to you. I'll tell you what you do every day. It's what my wife and I do every day. We pray that God would protect us and keep a hedge of protection about us. And we pray that God will protect us from the wiles and the snares and the plans of the devil. If the devil's got a plan for you, pray that God will protect you from his plan, because it ain't going to be good. It's not going to be good, you see. So you want to pray that God will protect you from the plans of the devil. And then verse number 11 says that we're all like grass anyway. He says, verse number 11 says, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat. Well, now, does not the sun come up every day? The sun comes up every day. It gets hot up there. We may not feel the heat down here, but it gets hot every day. So you see, trials and troubles and temptations, they may be things that happen to people every single day. Every single day. And he says in verse number 11, the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grass of it, of the fashion of it, perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So he talks about, you see, when these things happen to you, they happen to the rich and the poor, and we're all like grass. Now notice verse number 12, he gives a reward for enduring temptation. Look in verse number 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Endureth temptation. For when he is tried, look at it, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So he said, whenever trials and tribulations come upon you, and you have a right heart and a right spirit towards these things, and I'm not saying it's an easy thing to do, but if we have a right heart and a right spirit towards these things, he's going to reward us in the end, not today. Did you know in the Christian life what you have to do? You have to see an invisible, not only do you have to see an invisible God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 27, Moses endured all kinds of trials and tribulations. He endured reproach. He endured people that wanted to stone him. He endured people that wanted to go back to Egypt. He endured all kinds of things. But the Bible says that he endured one way. You know how Moses endured? The Bible says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's what you have to do. You have to know that God is there, but you cannot see him.
The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So you have to see an invisible God. Is that hard? To see somebody who's not, he's there, but you can't see him with your physical eyes. But that's how you're supposed to live the Christian life. To see someone who is invisible. He is there even though you cannot see him. You have to know that he's there. But you can't see him. You can't feel him. You don't know what he's doing. But he's there and he's doing things all the time. He's moving things around. He's speaking to people's hearts. You know, but we can't see it. It just looks like, something good happens and it just looks like why it would have happened anyway. But no, that's God. Bible says Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, God's doing things, but we can't see him. So you have to see someone who is invisible. That's faith, by faith. See, it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, see, and it's the faith chapter. You got to see God by faith, but you can't see him with your physical eyes. Not only that, but you've got to see that God's going to reward you. But it doesn't come now. It doesn't come now. You don't get the reward now. We're not going around. We're not kings and priests wearing. We're a priest, all right, but we're not kings yet. The cross is today, and the crown will come later. You see in this verse here, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Well, now the trying right there, when he is tried, that would be at the judgment seat of Christ. When he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Now, folks, listen. Let me stop on that word crown of life. I want to give you some false doctrine that is promoted out here by a certain church. I'll say the name of the church, but I'm not, Church of Christ. They teach this, that if you are good enough, if you're good enough and you hold out to the end, in the end, God will give you a crown of life, and they call that eternal life. God's going to give you eternal life for holding out to the end. Let me tell you something, folks. That is ridiculous. That is absolutely... You find this again in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Look it up. Revelation 2:10 talks about a crown of life. God is not going to give you eternal life because you're a good person. He's not going to give you eternal life for holding out to the end. Folks, eternal life is in a person. And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you'll accept him, he gives you eternal life. It is a free gift. The gift of God. You don't get it because you earn it. Now he rewards you for being faithful. That's what this is. It's a reward for being faithful. He will reward you, but it's not today. The reward doesn't come today. The reward comes later, you see. Amen?
Amen.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation whenever trials and tribulations come our way. Verse number 13, 14, and 15 is the temptation to do evil or sin. And let's look at that. The temptation to do wrong is not from God. Okay, listen carefully. The temptation to sin is not from God. Look in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God doesn't cause us to do evil nor tempt us to do evil. But when we're talking about now, not the trying of your faith, but now we're talking about the temptation to do evil comes from the devil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil puts a temptation in front of us, but he cannot force us to sin. But if we stop and we think about that thing, the devil knows what your weaknesses are and my weaknesses. Does not the Bible talk about a besetting sin? It's not the same for everybody. Something that bothers me might not bother you. And you might think, well, I just don't know why that bothers them. It doesn't bother me. You see, I mean, you can figure these things out. I don't want to get too much in detail, but everybody has a besetting sin. The devil knows what that is. He can tempt you with that and entice. Entice, that is, he makes things look good. That's what advertising is for. It's enticing you to buy something or to think you need something that you really don't need. You see, that's what all advertising is for on television. Like a beer or something. Well, they show a bunch of young people running around up there and just, oh, having a good time. And if you'll drink this, you will just be so happy. You will be so happy if you'll do this. You know, whatever you want to put in there. Cigarettes, they don't advertise them anymore, but that's what that was for. You want to put in there just anything that you want to put in there. See, that's what it's for. It's to entice people. And so the devil, he can entice you. See, make it look good. That's what he did with Eve in the garden. He enticed her. It looked good. It looks like something that I ought to do, you see. Amen? So the temptation to do evil, see, the devil wants to create a desire in us. And verse number 15 says, in verse number 14, every man is tempted. You see, temptation comes every day. Didn't Jesus say, Lord, whenever we pray, say, you know, what people call the Lord's Prayer, it's not really the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus said, when you pray, say, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. But every man is tempted. See, every man is tempted daily. People are tempted daily. There's lots of temptation. Verse number 14, but every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. See, it's lust that is inside of us. And we look, and here's what happens. We look and we think, we debate, should I do that or should I not do that? Should I look at that or should I not look at that? Is it worth it or is it not worth it? Would I get a lot of enjoyment out of that or should I not do it? You see, we stop. The temptation is there. The temptation is presented. And then it's up to us to make a decision. Now, I wanted to show you what Jesus did. Jesus, whenever he was presented with a temptation, he did not debate. He didn't think about it. He said immediately, which is what we ought to do. But Jesus didn't have a sinful nature. Whenever Jesus was presented by the devil with a temptation, you see, I mean, I could get real graphic with men. I won't do that. But I could. Whenever Jesus was presented with a temptation, he did not debate about it. He didn't argue about it. He just said, it is written. And he did away with it right then, just like that. That's why we sin, because we don't do that. We stop and we think about it. We mull it over in our mind. We don't say immediately, that's wrong, I shouldn't do it. We just and turn away. We don't do that most of the time. Did you know this? That every single time, I'll just use myself, but I'm sure it may be true of you too. Every single time I've ever sinned, I did it on purpose. I didn't have to. I did not have to, because God always makes a way of escape. I didn't have to, but I did it. I did it. So that means I'm totally guilty. I have no excuse. Not a one. Turn in your Bible. Let's read a few verses over in, let's say, Matthew chapter number 4. Speaking about Jesus. Matthew chapter number 4. And here's Jesus after he's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says, hungered. He's hungry, and the devil comes to him to tempt him. And we don't have time to go over every little thing there, but just show you what Jesus did when temptation was presented to him. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, Here's what the devil said. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. All right, now there's the temptation is presented right there. The temptation is put there. Look, folks, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's not a sin to be tempted. But the next step is the debate in the mind, in the heart, you see. Immediately, look what Jesus says in verse 4. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Look, that's the end of it right there. Jesus Christ did not debate. He did not mull it over in his mind and said, I should I do this or should I not do this? What good is this going to get me? He didn't do it. He said, that's it. Man shall not live by bread alone. He immediately put it away. See, now that's what we have to do. But see, what happened here is the devil ran into somebody who knew the Bible better than he did. You see, he ran into somebody who knew the Bible better than he did. That's temptation number one. No debate. The temptation is presented, but there's no lust in his heart. You see, our problem is that we have lust in our heart and we want things. We want things. Look in verse number 4. Verse number 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. All right, now he said, look here, Jesus. He said, why don't you jump down, and everybody will see that God's going to rescue you, and everybody will think what a great man you are. That's the pride of life, by the way. The pride of life. Immediately, Jesus Christ, instead of thinking about it, instead of mulling it over in his mind, thinking what benefit can I get from this, immediately, no debate. He says, it is written. It is written again. He says in verse number 7, Jesus said to him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse number 8, here's the third temptation. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Let's stop there. The temptation is presented. Fall down and worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms. Look, Jesus is going to get those kingdoms later on anyway. But the devil said, I'll give them to you now, and you won't have to go through the cross. You won't have to go and die on the cross. I'll give them to you right now. And he had the power to do so. See, that means the devil wanted Jesus to take a shortcut. There are no shortcuts in the Christian life. You see, that's what he's talking about. The devil said, look, I'll give you all these kingdoms now if you'll fall down and worship me. Jesus did not think about it. I mean, he could have thought about that and debated about that, but there's no lust in him, which there is in us. He said again, verse number 10, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only. The devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Y'all see what happens there? The temptation is presented. We have lust within us. I could take you over to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, but I won't for the sake of time. You see, but what we are supposed to do, let me just go down to the end here. What we're supposed to do is think this. When there's a temptation to do evil, we are supposed to think, look, every good thing I have ever gotten from God, every good thing that I have comes from God, so why should I follow the devil's path? Look at verse number 17. Verse number 17, let me go back over here. Verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see there? So there's what you have, what the devil offers, temptation. And there's lust in our hearts, and we debate about it, we think about it, and then we got to choose, and we choose the wrong way. You see, and Jesus showed us we didn't have to. Before I quit, I want to show you one other verse. Turn your Bibles, please, and hold your place in James to... I'll quit here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. All right, in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says, there hath no temptation taken you. Before I read that, could I say this? It looks like the temptation here could be either way. It could be the temptation, a trouble or trial, or it could be the temptation to do wrong. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Let's stop right there. Folks, look, whenever things happen to you, they've happened to others. They're all common to man. You say, oh, I'm the only one that this has ever happened to. No, there's thousands of people that it's happened to, whatever it is. You see, it's common to man. Temptations, all these things, they're common to man. You'll see that? But there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He's not going to present something to you or let something be presented to you without a way of escape. He's going to give you a way of escape. Our problem is we don't take the way of escape. We just jump right in. Speaking of myself, anyway. We just jump right in. He said, but God is faithful in the middle of verse 13, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, when the temptation comes along, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see? Amen? So all these things come and they happen. As I said, I didn't pick the subject today. It's just there. But see, when these things happen, just stop and think. Just stop and think. Tomorrow's another day. God blessed me yesterday, and God can bless me tomorrow. God is able to do that. God blessed me last week. He can bless me this week too, see. It may not look like it right now, right at this moment, but you can't see very far down the road. So you have to know by faith that God is there and that He's going to do something. He's going to help us. Maybe not next week. Maybe it'll be the next week or the next week. Y'all know in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, but He never put a time limit on it. He didn't say when. He didn't say when it's going to happen. He's just working all things out for good to them that love God, but He didn't say when it's going to happen. Might take a long time. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Maybe if you're here this morning, looks like most of you